visiting with us, we want you to know we consider you an honored guest. I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Deering has suggested. And if you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess Him as the Son of God and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, we'll be praying as we're singing that you'd make your way to the front so we could assist you in any way. So much appreciate Brother Deering stepping up this morning. He's always willing to take place when someone's absent, and I sure appreciate him leading our singing this morning. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the 121st Psalm. This is one of my favorite psalms, and I so much enjoy making a study of the 121st Psalm. Many times when I'm discouraged and I'm downtrodden, I'll just turn to the 121st Psalm and let the Word of God dwell within me. And I believe that this is a powerful psalm and one that has touched my heart time and time again. I've read it when loved ones have died, and I've read it to strengthen myself as I've gone through trials. In the 121st Psalm, the writer said, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forward and even forevermore." At this particular time, when the psalm was written, it was written when the people of God are in Babylonian captivity. And they're looking back towards their homeland, and they're looking at the hills. But their help comes not from the hills, but farther up. From where does our help come? They said, "Our help comes from the Lord." Here were people that were thinking about God. Now, at one time, they maybe didn't think about God as they should. Therefore, they ended up in captivity. But now they're far from their homeland. Now they're captives in a foreign land. And they're wanting to look back towards the hills of Jerusalem. And they want to look above the hills. And they say, "From whence comes our help?" Our help comes from God. And I'd like to think about, for just a few moments of our time this morning, help from the other side. I think that when you think about the statement that they looked at God, that is a powerful statement. That these are people that recognize that God is watchful, that God slumbers not. And they recognize that they were dependable people, that they depended upon God, that they didn't have the strength to make it without God. And so they recognized they needed divine help or help from the other side. And I want us to think about, for just a few moments this morning, how we still need help from the other side. I think that when I look at the God of heaven, I recognize my weaknesses, my blunders, my shortcomings, and I realize I need help from the other side. First, we need help in the time of temptation. Have you ever thought, my friend, that there will come a time that all people will be tempted? And when we're tempted to sin, what we need to do is to look to the other side. If you take your Bible for just a moment, turn with me to the book of James and the first chapter. And when you come to the book of James and the first chapter, we first need to eliminate some false teaching. Many times people get in their mind that God is causing the temptation. However, in James chapter 1, in verse 13, James said, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone." So temptation does not come from God, but help from temptation comes from God. When I'm being tempted, in verse 14, James said temptation comes when one is drawn away by their own desires and enticed. And when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Sin is a result of giving in to temptation. Everyone's tempted, but one doesn't have to give in to temptation. In Matthew chapter 4, you'll find Jesus was tempted, but Jesus never sinned. And each time Satan came with such temptation before the Lord, Jesus said, "It is written." I've had some individuals come to me and say, "Jesus wasn't tempted." Oh, I beg to differ, because the Bible says in the Hebrew letter that He was tempted in all points as we are, and yet without sin. The temptation was placed there, the opportunity to sin was put there, and yet Jesus did not yield to sin. And one reason He did not yield to sin is He knew the Word of God. But secondly, if you take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, notice what Paul said to the church at Corinth. Those individuals that made up that local church, he said, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Faithful to what? His Word. That is what it's talked about in 1 John 1, 9. God is faithful. And what does His faithfulness consist of in 1 Corinthians 10? "Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." You know what Paul is saying? One does not have to sin. Sin is always a choice. And thus, he said, God has made it where man will be able to bear it. Man can escape sin. So when it comes to temptation, I need help from the other side. I need to pray to God when I'm tempted to give me strength. I need to look to God and ask God to give me the backbone so that I do not yield. And I need to pray that when temptation comes, that I'll find a way to escape it. But I'll tell you, there's a second thing God gives us help with. God gives us help in the time of affliction. And I'll tell you something. The help that God gives us is like no person can give. The comfort and the grace and the love of God is what we need in the time of affliction. When I'm hurt, when I'm heartbroken, when I've had a loved one who is sick or who has died, I'll tell you, my friend, what I need is help from the other side. I need to be able to bow my head and pray as they did in the 121st Psalm. My help comes from God. Because I'll tell you, my friend, He can help lighten our burdens because He cares for us. Open your Bible and look in 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, look at what is said in verse 7. It says that God cares for us. We'll come back to that passage in a few moments, but I want you to think about God cares for us. And as children of God, we understand that God loves us and God cares for us, and what I need when I am hurting is help from the other side. Open your Bible, if you will, and consider that if it's a child of God that has died, that we have hope. That's what Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, that we don't sorrow as others, but that we have hope. Then in John 14, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled," in verse 1. "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." We have hope. But if, my friend, you come to the end of life, I'll tell you one thing you got to face is we need help. When I'm hurt, when I'm sorry, when it doesn't look like there is any hope and I feel helpless, I'll tell you, my friend, you can go to everybody under the living sun and they can put their arm around you and they can tell you they love you, and that means a lot. And I never for one moment want to diminish that. But there are some times that the only help and comfort that seems to sustain you is your faith in God. And I don't know where people would turn if they don't have any faith in God. Because He gives help in the time of affliction. When Paul talked about being afflicted and tried, he knew God was with him. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul, does that mean you can go through heartache and trial and trouble? Paul said, I can do all that. Why? God gives me the strength to endure. I believe this morning that when we go through heartaches and trials, so often we shake our fist at God and say, why did you allow this to happen? When instead we need to be like a child raising our arms up to our Heavenly Father and asking Him to help us and giving us aid in time of need. But I'll tell you a third thing. He gives us help in prayer. If you take your Bible, turn with me to the Roman letter in the 8th chapter. And you know, my friend, sometimes I wonder if we preach on prayer as much as we should. Brother Frank and Brother Larry discussed prayer. And I want you to think about that when we pray, that God helps us in our time. Look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps, underscore helps, in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When I pray to God and I don't know what to say, my heart is empty and I can only moan, I want you to recognize that the Spirit Himself makes intercession. And then if you drop on down, look if you will, and notice not only does the Holy Spirit, but Christ makes intercession for us in verse 34. When you go to God in prayer, there are people there, there are the Godhead there that is helping you. You're praying to God the Father while the Son and the Spirit intercedes for you. Oh, I would that I could get that out in the hearts of people. The power of prayer, of going before God, pouring your heart out, and knowing that God not only hears, but that Godhead intercedes for you. In time of need, you can find help from the other side. Help in temptation. Help in affliction. Help in prayer. But I'll tell you something else. There's help for the Christian. Have you ever stopped to think that He cares for His children? That's what we talked about in 1 Peter chapter 5. And I want you to understand that when you feel like no one cares for you, God cares for you. That God is always watching and God always cares. That's why when you read the 121st Psalm, the psalmist, the writer said, God will not allow your foot to be moved. He who does not slumber, He'll keep Israel. You ever been up in the middle of the night? When I look out, it looks like a lot of you have been the way you look. It's time to stay awake. But you get up in the middle, you just can't sleep, and there you've had a rough night. When was the last time you just turned it over to God? I read where one fellow read the 121st Psalm, and he said, well, Lord, if you're staying up, I'm going to bed. And I'll tell you, that's exactly right. God helps the Christian. He helps His children. Just as we help ours, except on a greater scale, He cares for His children. But I want you to understand, when He cares for His children, that also means that He is there when we are hurting. But He also corrects us. Open your Bible through the Hebrew letter in the 12th chapter. And when you come to the Hebrew letter in the 12th chapter, notice, if you will, verse 6. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. Now, I think He does that through the Word. But I want you to understand that there is correction. Israel received correction because God loved them. And we need to receive correction by His Word when He cares for us. And we need to be put back in line so that we are living the kind of life that gives Him glory. Even if that means we suffer for Him, as Peter wrote in his epistle in 1 Peter 4:6. That brings up another thought. Have you ever thought that God gives help from the other side to the sinner? There's help for the sinner. You know what Jeremiah 10:23 says? It's not within man to guide his own steps. You know what I need is a guide. I need someone to direct me. I need someone to help lead me. And it's not within myself. Man does not have the wisdom to guide himself. Man needs someone higher than he to guide him. And that's where we get help from the other side, through His Word. When I obey His Word and I take God's Word seriously, I'll tell you what I have. I have something that will guide me and lead me, not only from this life to the next, not only from this world to heaven, but it'll give me purpose and meaning here, and it gives me a better life here. Some people have tried and experimented with sin, and they have the passing pleasure, but what do you have at the end of that day? Nothing. But as a Christian, to know that you can bow your head in peace, knowing that your sins are forgiven, and knowing that if you fall short again, you can ask God to forgive you when you truly repent, and He'll blot it out. I'll tell you, that means the world. And if you're here and you've never become a child of God, have you ever thought what love God has to want to be all you, His child? The Creator of the universe wants to adopt you into His family. He wants you to be born again and raised up to walk a new life and adopt you as a child. And He wants you to call Him Father. And He wants to help us get to the other side. I was thinking the other day, when I worked the summer here in 1996, how different this congregation looks. But then I begin to think about how many people have gone on to the other side. And how that should motivate and edify us to know that what we are doing here is helping one another get to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? We encourage, we edify, we uplift, we rebuke, we chasten. We do all those things out of love to help one another. Stay in line with God and have God help us get to the other side. And if your life is not headed in that direction, then my friend, I beg you, turn around and come to God. As together we stand and sing, we call.